Dickens and said, some time ago I clipped a long article from the Washington Post. The headline caught my attention. It said, "Homing Pigeons Race Off to Oblivion." Homing pigeons race off to oblivion. As I read the article, I discovered that more than 3,000 of these valuable birds disappeared one weekend. They were simply gone, AWOL, and no one could explain it, the newspaper said. They had lost their way during three races. Now, when they are carried to a destination and released, the one who releases them is called the Liberator. I thought that was interesting. 1,800 birds were released from Newmarket to make a journey up to New York, and of the 1,800, 1,500 were missing. 900 were released in western Pennsylvania, and they were to fly to suburban Philadelphia. Of that group, 700 were missing, a journey of 150 miles. 1,200 were released in Pittsburgh, and they were to fly to Brooklyn, 350 miles away, and 1,000 never showed up. The article said most of them should have been home in a few hours. One man said, "We always lose a few. A hungry hawk will snag one or two." But Liberator Gary Moore said, "It's unbelievable. People are blaming sunspots, UFOs, the currents of El Nino." Now, it's widely accepted that these birds are controlled by electromagnetic fields as they work out their own navigation in their migrations to and fro. But something strange took place, according to this article. Jeff Efting, who only had 37 birds, lost 34 of them, and some of them cost thousands of dollars each. He said something very peculiar must have messed up the bird's tracking system. "I think they took a wrong course and are probably in North Carolina by now, tired and hungry. And unlike their wild cousins, they cannot fend for themselves. And if they're not found soon, they will be dead." The article concluded that these birds had been deceived. Jim Efting only had three to get home, and he said they were exhausted. Obviously, they had been flying lost for hours. And then he said a storm might have scattered the birds. A storm might have scattered the birds. The chances of survival shrinks with each passing day, and we are all extremely puzzled. I didn't realize how much money and time were put into this sort of thing until I read that article. But I actually thought of a hymn. Jesus is tenderly calling us home. And then I thought of storms and confusion and hawks and exhaustion. And I saw a sermon in there somewhere. The Washington Post said these birds were obviously hindered by modern communications. Hindered by modern communications. These pampered, well-fed, well-cared-for, and housed, these protected birds were lost and carried off to alien fields. I remember that during World War II, homing pigeons were used extensively. They didn't have all the sophisticated technology and electronics that they have today. And there were certain rules about how to use them. The first was the birds had to be spotted from a familiar rookery. They had to have the best food, the best care, clean water, but above all, they had to know where they belonged, or else they wouldn't have any unction to return. And then they were carried to the front, and when it was appropriate, they were released with tiny capsules attached to their legs, messages of vital importance which could mean victory or defeat. But the enemy was also on the lookout with trained falcons and hawks. And sometimes these birds were intercepted, but some of them were honored as heroes and decorated before the war ended. Now to switch thoughts, the Voice of America was broadcasting hope and encouragement to countries under the heel of an oppressor. And then the enemy came up with the idea of jamming the signals from the Voice of America, the voice of freedom, the voice of truth to the peoples under oppression, ideas about freedom and justice. And these ideas could not get through because of jamming. Words have to be redefined and broadened and new words added. Jamming is a present participle of jam. And jam is a product made from boiling fruit and sugar. But jam is also the name of rulers in certain northeastern states of India. And jam also means to crowd or pack in. But in the context of a nation wanting to control ideas and to keep out the truth by jamming the airwaves with trivia and useless palaver, lies and counterfeits, they can actually cut off the inflow of truth by using junk or just plain static and unintelligible noise. A military tactic. And should I remind us today that we are at war? There's a great controversy going on, and we are on one side or the other. And the enemy is clever and shrewd. But in spite of the raging war and the gathering storm, Jesus wants us home, and He invites us home. And He has endowed each of us with a homing instinct, for everyone has been dealt a measure of faith. Now, there are many who want to live as they please, but when it comes down to dying, they want to go home. As a matter of fact, many vile men are declared to be up there now. Here we are in a terrible, hostile, unfriendly world. And the storms are gathering. The tribulations are everywhere. There are sorrows afflicting us. There are hawks and falcons and, perhaps more deadly than all, exhaustion. And we ought to be longing for home. We ought to be longing for peace, longing for the milk and honey of the promised land. We ought to be ready to chatter with the angels, as the spiritual says, just to behold His face. One of the most popular hymns that I ever used in evangelism was the one, "I want to see Jesus, don't you?" There was one, "Loved me so that for me He died. He's my dear, precious Savior," so true. "On the cross for my sins, He was crucified. I want to see Jesus, don't you?" And yet mysterious and demonic forces are determined to get us off track and to mess up our minds through false communications. Satan's mischief is 24/7. He knows he has but a short time. His wrath is great. It doesn't matter how faithful you have been, he still has a program just for you based on your own personality and your own weaknesses and the things you love to talk about. He gets the impression that you are hankering, and he will supply. And one of the tragedies in our church today is, in spite of our literacy, we don't like to read. At least the right thing. And it follows that we don't enjoy praying. And we don't want to listen. And we don't believe. And we are occupied and preoccupied and distracted. And we don't love as we ought. We have misplaced priorities. And the thing that we are most passionate about becomes our God. A young man told me at college not long ago, "I believe I must trust my own instincts." He's willing to trust his natural eyes when the Bible plainly declares that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The Lord addressed this when he said, "They have eyes and see not, ears and hear not, And therefore we have a whole cadre of young people growing up who can't see anything wrong with those things that are explicitly forbidden in Scripture. And I find this both pitiful and disappointing, because they're not headed home. And Steps to Christ says, many will be lost while hoping to be saved. I'd like to repeat something that I say betimes. Whenever I put my hand to a sermon and pray, I'm preaching first to me. And sometimes it causes me to tremble. In the great controversy, Ellen White discusses the loss of a soul and how it impacts heaven. There are some people headed toward oblivion and don't care, but Jesus cares. If it doesn't bother them, it hurts him. When we consider the price he paid, his face is bathed in tears, for he watches those with great privilege perishing in trackless wilderness thickets, tangled in the bramble of charming lies and feel-good philosophies, a prey to predators and bait for carrion eaters. Paul said, the natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And the Lord's servant says, persistence in sin. And it doesn't say some awful, degrading sin. Sin. Persistence in sin will bring us to the place where we not only won't see, we cannot see. And I fear that. The dark day of May 19, 1780 is still relevant in our thinking and teaching. The falling stars of 1833 still relevant. When the Leonids were supposed to fly around the heavens, not long ago, a newsman referred to 1833 and the fanaticism of that time. Ellen White says those who are faithful to God will be accused of fanaticism. And I really don't like fanatics. But I don't care if it appears I'm fanatical, simply because I believe. And I stand on what God said. I didn't make it up. It was what I was taught when I was brought into this church. And I haven't found anything wrong with it. And I learned it again at college. And I've learned it by experience. And I've learned it by preaching it. That God says what he means and means what he says. My wife's darling mother and she's verily mine, is 95 years old and almost invalid now. And my wife thrills me by being simply a caring daughter. We have mother in her own home, which she prefers. And we have hired caretakers to look after her 24 hours a day. My wife calls every other day. But not long ago, we needed to go up to that town to take care of business for mother. We had to go to the bank before going to her home. We drove from here. And when we neared Pottstown, I said to my wife, why don't we take the old road into Pottstown? The new highway that facilitated things has been there about 20 years. So it's been a long time since I used the old road. Let's take that one. And we did. And I remember that when you crossed High Street and turned right, Charlotte Street would be just two blocks away. But when I got there, it was King Street. And I began to doubt what I had been knowing for years. And I wondered, what in the world is this? So I kept going, and the confusion deepened. I got to read the names of streets I'd never heard of. And I began to doubt the way. Finally, I concluded and said to my wife, we'd better turn around. You know, some people are so arrogant that once they start going wrong, they don't want to turn around. No matter how obvious it is that they're going the wrong way. But I remember the text that said, look for the old path. And so we must turn around, for there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Here we were lost in a small town. We had missed the mark. And that's one of the approximate definitions of sin. So we turned around. Now we could have gone on. There was nobody there to say we could not. We could have gone on, but we never would have reached our objective. Had we gone on, we might have reached Philadelphia and Wilmington, Delaware, and soon we would have been back home, but we would not have done what we set out to do. And there was no time to rationalize because banks close early. No need to have someone say, well, all ways are the same. No, no. I didn't need anyone to say one way is as good as another. I'm not that liberal. I didn't need to listen to the radio in search of truth and become a surface reader following false prophets rather than the spirit of prophecy. I had to turn around. And I turned around with the faith, I am the way. So I turned around and immediately, as I made another turn, ran into one-way streets, both of them going the way I was going in the first place. And that added to the confusion. But then I began to remember what I had learned years ago. Ellen White says, when you are in that dilemma, look back to where, with the eye of faith, you last saw the light. You got to have something back there in your experience that you can turn around to. There's got to be an anchor to your soul past which you do not drift in uncertainty. Something's got to be real. And so I decided now, with my jaw set, I'm going the way I remember. And I looked up and saw the wrong street. I looked up again and saw the wrong street. And finally, I came to a point where I looked up higher. And there, on the side of a building, in stone, above the reach of the capricious and mischievous young people who had caused all of this havoc, was the word Charlotte Street. That's what I was looking for. I had to raise my sights, and there it was. I was headed in the right direction. Upon inquiry, I found out that these young people call themselves having fun by changing the signs in this small town so that people were not sure where they were or where they were going. Their faith would be shaken, but those who knew the way were not ultimately cast off. Jesus was approached by a blind man, and the Lord seemed to have given him many options. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, there was riches, popularity, fame, everything, but he said to Jesus, oh, that I might see. Oh, that I might see. That man wanted to see. He wanted to see. And Jesus, seeing his need, answered his prayer and opened his eye. And when we get to the point that we can see Jesus. And if we look for him every day, we can see Jesus. Then to behold him is to love him. And as we see him, the bleeding lamb who died for our sins and yet who lives now to sustain us and to shepherd us home. When we see him and love him, then duty is not a problem. He simply said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said that explicitly. What he said implicitly was, if you don't love me, forget it. And why are so many griping about duty? I do not buy groceries and take care of my wife because the law says I must. Law has nothing to do with it. It's based on love. We've got to have our eyes open, anointed with eye salve, that we might see. And if we get the eyes open, it might surprise us that what we see is what we saw when we said our vows and were baptized into the remnant church. Saul, in trouble, couldn't hear God. And so he went to see a witch. God hadn't changed. Saul had changed. God loves us and wants us home. And He has given signs to let us know when we are nearing home. And if you don't realize it now, you have no pulse. You've heard the story of a little boy who was lost at a big affair and was crying, weeping uncontrollably, and the police caught up with him. Son, what is it? I'm lost. Where are your parents? I don't know. Well, listen, can you give us your phone number? He didn't know that either. Do you know your address? No, I don't know any of that. And so they had a dilemma. They made announcements over the loudspeaker. Nobody showed up. And the boy kept on crying until finally the boy came up with an idea. Through his tears, he said, "Sir, there is a building near my house, a tall building with a cross on top. If you take me to the cross, I can find my way home. If you take me to the cross. No matter what looms in my vision, when I look at the cross and see Jesus, I prioritize, I think about home, and whatever it takes to get there, I want to be able to give or to give up. I want to go home. I want to see Jesus, don't you? If you do, stand with me and let us pray. Oh, we thank You, Heavenly Father, for another day. We thank You for these special people of Yours, good people. People tried and hassled by the enemy. Satan doesn't like this institution. He doesn't like this church. He doesn't like headquarters. He doesn't like those who work here. Nothing would please him more than to bring reproach out of these hallowed halls. But we're standing today during this colloquium to say that we want to stay on track. That marvelous painting in the White Estate shows, symbolizes Your people on that narrow path. But they're looking up and looking forward. We want to do that, Lord. We want to do it until every other thing grows strangely dim in the light of Thy glory and grace. So bless, please, every one of us. Help us to know that more will be done this week by prayer than by preaching. And may it be a week that we really enter into. We're willing to put aside our pride and seek the Lord as little children, knowing that You will never disappoint us. Forgive every sin through the blood of the Lamb, we ask in His name. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.